Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Hear No Evil. I'm Darlene Lewis, and the subject for today is what is real music? You know, the money that is made by recording artists make up the record companies, stockholders, and make them rich. Why is it that the record company does not want to take the blame when recording artists' messages of self-destruction, criminal acts are emulated by youth from the hood and from suburbia? Who is really responsible? Let's talk about it. Call in the show now, 347-989-0761. 347-989-0761. Well, we made it to another holiday. I want to say happy gobble gobble to everyone. I am so blessed to be coming to you live on the road, but I'm doing my best to get this show together. There's a few things that I wanted to talk about especially the real music and what's going on in the music industry. But first, I want to answer some questions that some people have been calling in about, emailing me about what to do if they want to promote themselves. Many actors and actresses have been reaching out to me. So what I did was I compiled some information. I did some research, and I came upon Sean Pratt's actors advertising campaign, you know, when to stay in touch and when to hang it up, or when to bang your drum. And so these are a few tips that he's had that's been successful. So I just want to know if you think it'll work. But I have discovered that some of this does work, so I just want to bring it to your attention. Now, in order to help advance your careers, actors as well as recording artists must learn how and when to use the two basic methods of publicity. In the world of marketing, there are two distinct kinds of advertising campaigns, an ongoing campaign and a promotional campaign. These two kinds of campaigns work hand-in-hand to create a sense of recognition and momentum for a business or an actor, which in turn can create opportunities for them to succeed. But knowing each one's form and function is crucial to getting the results you want. Now, he says there's no yardstick. Many may not believe that. Now, before we get started, understand that it is very difficult to measure the success of any kind of advertising endeavor. John Wanamaker, the father of modern advertising, famously said, "I know half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. The trouble is, I don't know which half." Now, how many of you can agree with that? Most actors approach their ad efforts as if they were planting a garden. For every postcard, flyer, or invite they send out, they should get a response. Plant a seed, get a flower. But it simply doesn't work that way. Now we have the ongoing ad campaign. All businesses must establish a baseline level of recognition by the public of their product service. They do this by creating every month generalized advertising that tells the public who they are and what they do. In marketing, this is known as the five-touch rule. This builds a link in the public's mind between the company, the product service, and the logo of the business. It might be something as simple as, "Here at Starbucks, we serve hot coffee in a cool atmosphere," along with a picture of the store in their icon. This is analogous to you sending out one postcard, flyer, etc., every month detailing what you've been up to. Like clockwork, your piece of advertising should float across the casting director's desk, helping them link your name with your face. What you've done this month isn't nearly as important as the fact that you continue to stay in touch. The implied message is you are a professional, working actor, that they should call in for an interview or audition at the very least. All you need is one piece of information, such as you took a certain acting class, you made the call back for a project, you're spending time updating your life, you're sending them an updated picture or resume, you went to an industry-related event. You say the play they directed or that was produced at their theater. And then you say you saw it. The promotional campaign. This kind of campaign gets put into action when you're working on a project which has the potential to really boost your career. Suddenly, you will be sending out more and more material to promote this project in the hopes of getting them and finally commit spending their time to see your work. Now, this is where the ongoing ad campaign becomes so important. It acts as a springboard to help create that tipping point where they say, okay, seems to be an actor. That would be, you know, the space would be you. You seem to be an actor in demand, and it's someone I need to go and see. Now, before we go any further, I just want to let you guys hear, you know, some music that I was listening to, and you know, just to let you know that I want to let you know that I do play whatever music that you recommend. And we'll be right back with more ways to promote yourself after this song.
My pants got bigger. She already knew what to figure. Had a cause I think that I'm in love.
I just want you by my side.
I wish that you was feeling the same way I feel inside. Every time I think of you, every time I'm next to you, it got me thinking about difficult times that we've been.
Ooh, da do 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 do.
Ooh, da do 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 do.
The very first time that I saw your brown eyes, your lips said hello and I said hi. I knew right then you were the one. But I was caught up in physical attraction. But to my satisfaction, baby, you were more than just a face. And if I
ever fall
in love
again,
I will be
sure that the lady is a friend.
Welcome back to Hear No Evil. I'm Darlene Lewis. Now, before we went to break, we were talking about the promotional campaign. Now, next we will talk about the ongoing ad campaign. And that this is when it becomes very important. Let's use the example of you playing Hamlet at a local theater. It's a 9-week contract, 5 for rehearsal, and 4 for the show. Here's a breakdown of how you might promote the project. Week 1. Even though you're 5 weeks away from opening night, send out an announcement about you, how you landed this wonderful part. Mention the director, the theater, the musical director, who's in it. Week 2. Mail out a flyer saying that you'll be unavailable for most upcoming projects in the next 9 weeks because you're playing Hamlet. Week 3. Out goes a postcard telling them about how great rehearsals are going, and boy, is that sword fight tricky. Week 4. Now, this might be a good time to let them know who else is in the cast. After all, if the actors playing Gertrude, Polonius, and Ophelia are well known in town, this could help create that tipping point mentioned earlier. Week 5. This is when you officially invite them to the show, opening night if possible. Most professional theaters will comp in directors, agents, and producers. Week 6, another invite. This time include a show photo. If the play is a hit and has a garnered loads of praise, then you will include one review each week from now on. Week 7, create a golden ticket opportunity that entitles them to drinks with you after the show. Week 8, make a small movie poster from some of the press shots. On the back side, along with the review, write a personal note. Week 9, send them a last chance postcard. Week 10, now that's it closed, share them a few thoughts about the show and let them know that even though they weren't able to attend, there's always next time. Finally, let them know that you'll be busy auditioning for new projects. In show business, all advertising is about one thing and one thing only, getting butts in those seats. Okay? So remember, these are just actors' advertising campaigns. They work well with poetry. They work well with recording artists. So, you know, these are just tips that I would like you to have for yourself. Now, I'll be back in a few minutes.
Smacking Mike and making men of them. Tears and fears for my peers, they risen. You think that it is, if not it isn't. Race for the border, my daughter could beat her banging out. Cheeks rocking, beats in her feet.
reason it's time for hanging out. Gather or rather form a circle around our lives. Just good brothers or others could never ever rock a crowd. Is it because he's running off with the mouth? Or was he really clearly trying to play a nigga out? Nope, shut him down. The king with the crown. Cause all you wanna be is to keep down. A friend of mine asked me to say some MC rhyme, so I said this rhyme I'm about to say. The rhyme was Mecca, and then it went this way. Recollect a Mecca mic check on a windmill skill. Mac the stretch wearing Godfather hats. It's okay to parlay the forte better. Tell him my nigga need a sweater tougher than leather. Swing another Bobby King thing and I wreck. But just like the white one, I get no respect. Money stay away cause the other niggas are fake. From Holly to the Beacon, and your dumb ass is leaking. CL and Run DMC, so rush it. Big time way before Hammer got to touch it. Remember the faces in all types of places. Look, ma, no shoelaces. And I'm...
I'm not afraid to die.
Leona Lewis. Real music. I love real music. Listen, guys, I just got some new information about a black author that won the Matrix copyright infringement case. I bet you didn't know this, but this little-known story has met a just conclusion. As Sophia Stewart, an African-American author of The Matrix, will finally receive her just due from the copyright infringement of her original work. I am devastated because I did not know that a black woman was the one that wrote The Matrix. Did you guys know that? Give me a call, 347-989-0761. A six-year dispute has ended involving Sophia Stewart, the Wachowski brothers, Joel Silver, and Warner Brothers, Stewart's allegations involving copyright infringement and racketeering were received and acknowledged by the Central District of California. Judge Margaret Morrow presiding. Stewart, a New Yorker who has resided in Salt Lake City for the past 5 years, will recover damages from the films. The Matrix 1. 2 and 3, as well as The Terminator and its sequels. Oh, my God. She will soon receive one of the biggest payoffs in the history of Hollywood, as the gross receipts of both films and their sequels total over $2.5 billion. I am gagging. Now, let's see how this began. Okay, it seems that Stewart filed her case in 1999 after viewing The Matrix, which she felt had been based on her manuscript, The Third Eye, copywritten in 1981. In the mid-'80s, Stewart had submitted her manuscript to an ad placed by the Wachowski brothers requesting new sci-fi films. You see, this is why I never ever answer those ads when people say send in your scripts and we'll view it or send in your work and you know get industry feedback, because someone told me a long time ago by the name of Gene Sproul, who is the female playwright that I know living that has had a Broadway playwright up in the attic. What's up in the attic? She also did The Magic Carousel. She used to always tell me to stop putting my poems and my music on the internet because people, all they need is a snippet. Wow. Anyway, according to court documentation, an FBI investigation discovered that more than 30 minutes had been edited from the original film in an attempt to avoid penalties for copyright infringement. The investigation also stated that credible witnesses employed at Warner Brothers came forward claiming that the executives and lawyers had full knowledge that the work in question did not belong to the Wachowski brothers. These witnesses claimed to have seen Stewart's original work and that it had been often used during preparation of the motion pictures. The defendants tried on several occasions to have Stewart's case dismissed without success. Stewart has confronted skepticism on all sides, much of which comes from Matrix fans who are strangely loyal to the Wachowski brothers. One online forum entitled Matrix Explained has an entire section devoted to Stewart. Some who have researched her history and writings are open to her story. Others are suspicious and mocking. It doesn't bother me, said Stewart in a phone interview last week. I always knew what was true. Some fans are unaware of the case or they question its legitimacy due to the fact that it has received little to no media coverage, though the case was not made public until October of 2003. Stewart has her own explanation as quoted at AGHETTOT TYMZ.com, which is a ghettomiz.com. The reason you have not seen any of this in the media is because Warner Brothers' parent company is AOL Time Warner. This giant owns 95% of the media. Let me give you a clue as to what they own in the media business. New York Times papers, magazines, LA Times papers, magazines, People Magazine, CNN News, Extra, Celebrity Justice, Entertainment Tonight, HBO, New Line Cinema, DreamWorks, Newsweek, Village Roadshow, and many, many more. They are not going to report on themselves. They have been suppressing my case for years. Wow. Now, fans who have taken Stewart's allegations seriously have found eerie mythological parallels which seem significant in a case that revolves around the highly metaphorical and symbolic Matrix series. Sophia, the Greek goddess of wisdom, has been referenced many times in speculation about Stewart. In one book about the goddess Sophia, it reads, "The black goddess is the mistress of web creation spun in her divine matrix." Although there have been outside implications as to racial injustice, Stewart, of course, is African American, she does not feel that this is the case. "This is all about the Benjamins," said Stewart. "It's not about money with me. It's about justice." Stewart's future plans involve a record label entitled Pop Silk Records and a motion picture production company, All Eyes on Me. Eyes is spelled with a Z at the end. In reference to God, "I wrote the third eye to wake people up, to remind them why God put them here. There's more to life than money," said Stewart. "My whole gift to the world is about God and good, about choice, about spirituality over technocracy." Wow. Well, if Stewart represents spirituality, then she truly has prevailed over the technocracy represented in both the Terminator and the Matrix, and now ironically by their supposed creators. Stewart is currently having discussions with CBS about a possible exclusive story and has several media engagements in the near future to nationally publicize her victory. June 13, 2004, Sophia Stewart's press release read, "The Matrix and Terminator movie franchises have made world history and have ultimately changed the way people view movies and how Hollywood does business. Yet, the real truth about the creator and creation of these films continue to elude the masses, because the hidden secret of the matter is these films were created and written by a black woman named Sophia Stewart. But Hollywood does not want you to know this fact simply because it would change history. Also, it would encourage our black children to realize a dream, and that is nothing is impossible for them to achieve." As an author and a writer that understands copyright infringement all too well, I am so happy to know that this woman received her just due, because it's pitiful when you spend all of your time and energy trying to create a project. You know, you do everything that you can to make it work, and then somebody comes along and just takes your idea and gets credit for it. It's annoying. And I really don't appreciate it, but I'm so happy for her. I'm so happy.
beat the hell out of her.
Thank you.
girls be out there doing trash.
No. No.
They be doing dope.
No.
They be gang banging.
No. No.
A friend of mine asked me to say some MC rhyme, so I said this rhyme I'm about to say. The rhyme was there, but then it went this way. Took a test to become an MC, and on his quick became amazed at me. So Larry put me inside the Cadillac. The show would go off and we never came back.
If I could forget him, I would. Please believe me. And I know that I should throw the towel in, but baby, it's not that easy. Hey, you treat me so much better than him, and if I was sane, there'd be no competition, but I'm in love with someone else.
I love real music. Today, as you spend time with your family, remember those less fortunate than yourselves. And remember, we are celebrating what we consider Thanksgiving, but the real first Thanksgiving. Much of America's understanding of the early relationship between the Native American Indians and the European is conveyed through the story of Thanksgiving, proclaimed a holiday in 1863 by Abraham Lincoln. But this fairy tale of a feast was allowed to exist in the Americas imagination pretty much untouched until 1970, the 350th anniversary of the landing of the Pilgrims. That is when Frank B. James, president of the Federated Eastern Indian League, prepared a speech for a Plymouth banquet that exposed the Pilgrims for having committed, among other crimes, the robbery of the graves of the Wampanoags. He wrote, "We welcomed you, the white man, with open arms, little knowing that it was the beginning of the end, that before 50 years were to pass, the Wampanoag would no longer be a free people. But white Massachusetts officials told him he could not deliver such a speech and offered to write him another. Instead, James declined to speak, and on Thanksgiving Day, hundreds of Indians from around the country came to protest. It was the first National Day of Mourning, a day to mark the losses of Native Americans suffered as the early settlers prospered." The true story. Think about this tonight when you are eating your meal.
If I could forget him, I would. Please believe me. And I know that I should throw the towel in, but baby, it's not that easy. Hey, you treat me so much better than him, and if I was sane, there'd be no competition, but I'm in love with someone else, and I'm so sorry. Hey, I'm in love with another man, and I know it ain't right. You should go and find someone else who can treat you right, give you the world, someone who understands the man you are, 'cause baby, you shine so bright, and I would just dim your star. A girl who treats you like you treat them. Boy, I know there's plenty women who would love to have a man like you. But I'm in love with someone else. What I did to you, baby. Oh, yeah. I can't explain why it's him and not you. But at the end of the day, baby, I just don't want to. Cause he ain't no doctor, nah. And we always seem to fight. He got the perfect body. And sometimes they don't even treat me right. Oh, but when I'm with him, but when I'm with him, hey, when I'm with him, ain't nobody else like it. Oh, and I'm so sorry, baby, that I had to do this to you. But I can't do pretending, because I love him, I love him, and I'm so sorry.
Like an airplane.
Thursday, 6:30. Bye-bye.